time to play King Stupid. My name's William Van Dyke, and welcome to King Stupid, the relatively new panel game. We're very proud to say the show has picked up a few prestigious awards this week. The Perspex Yeti of Bordeaux, that's ours for a year. The Silver Void of Copenhagen, that's ours too, as is the Hairy Shield of Bermuda. We were nominated for the Binatone Lint Hat, but we were just pipped by Noel's house party for that. Again. Well, let's meet the panel, and they've all brought a different percussion instrument with them. Our first panellist, comic writer Dave Green.
Hello.
Dave, so we can get to know a bit more about you and the ideals you strive for, if you could change one thing about the world, what would it be?
I'd like to make all the escalators go 3 times faster. I mean, mainly because that would enable you to get to places 3 times quicker, but also because it would just be tremendously more exciting trying to get on and off them.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Our next panellist, with her percussion, from Late Lunch, Sue Perkins.
Hello.
Sue, please tell us, if you could change one thing about the world, what would it be?
I think I'd move America, because where America is currently situated, it seems to be the target for an awful lot of meteor strikes and strange lizards that pop up from the sea. So I'd say I'd probably put it in the place of France. Just swap the two over. It's time for France to get hit by a meteor, I feel.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Next is comedian Simon Pegg.
Hello.
Classic. Simon, if you could change one thing about the world, what would it be?
I think I'd have a mass transit system underneath London consisting of a number of tunnels through which trains can go, making London as a whole more accessible, and I'd call it quite simply the pipe.
Why don't you just call it the tube?
The tube's good, but I prefer the pipe.
Okay.
Thanks. And last, ooh. Sorry, I've given you a sneak preview of the final scores there. Fourthly, from the Friday Night Armistice, Peter Bainham.
Hello.
Ignore him, he's showing off. Peter, if you could change one thing in the world, what would you change?
I think I'd make one country, probably Italy, stick upwards, rather than... rather than being flat, just sticking out. Probably Italy. I mean, somewhere like Africa would be ridiculous, really. Because the number of people that would fall off it, like the end of Titanic, you know. And it would slap the moon as well.
Okay, those are our panellists, but I've kept the receipts so I can take them back. This round is about the tourist industry. Tourism has a huge effect on the British economy. Last year alone, French exchange students shoplifted goods to the value of £5 billion. So, I want you to help the British tourist industry by suggesting bad names for new tourist attractions. Okay, I'll give you one to start you off. World of Used Bandages. Simon, you got any?
I'd open up an enormous gay theme park called Judy Garland.
Anybody else?
I thought Chessington World of Portsmouth. Like rides and kind of, you know, actors going around saying, welcome ye to Portsmouth.
In but Chessington.
That'd be an amazing thing. Maybe the sights and smells of 1990s Portsmouth.
We have DVLC Centre, or World, in Swansea. Where the ride is, you sit in a dual-control Nissan for 15 minutes with a bald man with a moustache, and you do exciting things like a three-point turn, and then you fail 3 times.
Talking of which, you could have Training Wales, which is a smaller version of Wales where you go and sort of hang out before you go to real Wales. At a later date.
Like a Wales depressurising chamber.
Yeah. Just get you used to it, the whole
thing. Just get you used to things like Wales being a centre of animation and having... I'm not being defensive or anything here, Simon.
Was there anything after centre of animation that you were going to say?
Pete, can I just check something?
Cardiff,
where do you come from?
I'm from Cardiff, which actually is technically in Wales.
in Wales.
Can I suggest a waxworks museum called Saddam Two Swords? It would be mostly waxworks figures of the Revolutionary Council of Iraq. Some of them would move, some of them wouldn't.
Like the real thing?
Yeah.
Okay, so, super. Well, that's quite enough of all that. Time to award the points.
Is it? Oh.
Yep.
Oh. Oh. Another one. No, so come and see the former IRA terrorists of Longleat.
That's why I said that's quite enough of that. Let's go. So time to award the points. Simon, I'll give you 3 points. Sue, you get 2 points. Dave, you get 1 point. But Pete, I'm not going to give you any points because all your ideas were wholly viable and indeed eligible for lottery funding. Now the round where the panel tackles a major issue. Here's Tony Blair setting out his government's priorities.
Ask me my priorities for government, and I tell you, education, 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 and education.
Do you see what he was getting at there? He thinks education is important. Now, my question is, what can we do to improve Britain's education system? Dave.
Right, well, they're always going on about bringing class sizes down, things like that, but I think they're approaching that the wrong way. I think they should just introduce giant teachers. But obviously not like normal giants, because they wouldn't fit through the doors and they wouldn't be able to hold the books and stuff. They should be like Jabba the Hutt out of Star Wars, and they could have, like, two heads and then arms and things. And then also, they prevent truancy by blocking the doors.
Would not the benefits in terms of the teaching be outweighed by the long-term psychological effect on the children? Massive floating teachers.
You said they'd have, like, two heads and arms, as if arms.
Strange thing.
Pete, perhaps...
Alco subjects. I mean, I know it would be literally that. It would be a physics textbook that when you handle it, had neat gin in it that went into your system and made you extremely drunk, thus somehow helping you to be better at that subject.
It's the somehow in that sense.
Somehow,
that's it. It's the major fault.
Chemistry format. Could be about mixing cocktails and stuff, couldn't it? Mm. Broadly what it is anyway, as far as I can see.
Sue.
I think you could do something by changing the names. I think instead of spelling school S-C-H-O-O-L, you could perhaps do something like S apostrophe C-O-O-L. School. Sorry, school. It's cool. Perhaps one in maybe 3 or 4 billion children would think that that's...
Simon?
I think, well, certainly for the boys, what you could do is pay people to discard educational books on waste grounds and railway sidings so that young boys would come across them, be naturally curious, and...
come across them.
Go off behind trees and learn about stuff. You know, and just learn themselves to death, you know. As most of us do.
They could play sticky physics, couldn't they?
Yeah.
And that's the end of that round. Great. Oh, no, I've got to do the marking now. Simon, oh, you can have a tick, I suppose. Sue, tick, silver star, Dave, see me, and Peter, I've lost your answer, so I'll just claim you didn't hand them in. Well done. The next round will test the panel's powers of observation. I'm going to play a well-known piece of music, in this case, A Day in the Life by the Beatles, but we've made one small alteration. Will any of you be able to spot what it is? Okay. Here comes the music.
Did you replace the big piano chord at the end with a honky horn?
Well, let's listen back. Bang on, 2 points. Now it's time for our cheerleader round. Now, I didn't intend to make my panel wave pom-poms and wear revealing skirts, But I was told that the only Radio 4 show allowed to do that sort of thing is Moneybox Live. So, instead, I want them to think of cheerleader chants for occupations other than American footballers. Sue, say an archaeologist had a team of cheerleaders on a dig. What sort of chants could they use?
I think they'd probably go, give me an A, give me an R, give me a C, give me an H, give me an give me a vowel, give me another one. Archaeology! Or there's another one. If the cheerleaders had trained in the Marines, I think they could go, I don't know, but I've been told Etruscan vases are made of gold. It's not funny, but it is very, very factual.
I thought 2, 4, or 6.8 million years ago was great. Or 2, 4, 16, 18, let's get together for some carbon dating.
Nice. Any other occupations?
Do 10110101 binary programmers having fun.
How about,
go, go, reach for the sky, defuse that bomb or we're all gonna die! Or after that, for funeral directors, go out there and make us proud, embalm a corpse and knit a shroud.
One, yeah. Two, one, two, one, one, two, one, two, one, two, one, roadies!
2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, your rabbit breeding farm is going great!
And I'll end that round there. Marvellous. I feel a bit sorry for cheerleaders sometimes. I think it's a rather lonely occupation. After all, who cheers the cheerleaders, eh? Oh, yes, it's large gangs of leering men, I remember now. And the points for that round bring the scores so far to...
Can I do 4, 3, 2, 1, go, mission control, who's stun?
I'm just going to have to alter the scores now. One less for Dave Green. And the points from that round bring the scores so far to... Dave Green has 2 points, Peter Bainham has 3 points, Sue Perkins has 5 points, and Simon Pegg has 4 points. That means you're in the lead, Sue, so well done. I bet you feel a bit cocky about being in the lead, don't you? Well, be careful. Remember the tale of the hare and the tortoise. Long ago, a hare challenged the tortoise to a race. The tortoise said, I've got a better idea. Let's do a panel game. So the hare did very well at first. All the questions were about carrots and big ears. But then the tortoise started catching up, partly because they played some rounds about shells and having a name painted on your back, and partly because the tortoise had crawled onto the buzzer and got stuck. And so the tortoise won the show. So don't be like the hare. Mind you, I don't particularly want you to be like the tortoise either, so... Just forget it. Drop it, right? The next round is our film round. In Hollywood, success is all. Everyone's looking for a hit, except Leonardo DiCaprio, who, in my opinion, is looking for 3 hits, followed by a sharp kick where it hurts. And I'll be the studio boss, and I want the panel to pitch me ideas for surefire hit movies. I want the title and the concept. Sue.
Emma Scissorhands. Set in Regency England, it's the story of a socially advantaged woman who tries to matchmake a man who has a set of steak knives for hands. Obviously, the part being played by Colin Firth, who comes out of a lake dripping, only to find that his hands have rusted.
Dave.
Yeah, I got one here. I got Terminator Schmerminator. It's Woody Allen's, like, long-awaited stab at the special effects science fiction genre. And, of course, a cyborg assassin from the 21st century wreaks hilarious havoc in the romantic entanglements of Manhattan's Upper East Side. And Zimbabwean werewolf in Cardiff. I mean, obviously just, you know, a well-worn theme, but worth trying, I think, because they, once again, they'd have to film it in Los Angeles, but try and make it look like Cardiff.
Pete.
Can't be done. Do you know that Cardiff is the centre of animation? Anyway, so, Honey, I Shrunk the People of Lilliput. Right.
Simon.
I've got a couple, Jason and the Argonauts, which is a story about a mystical journey set upon by a bunch of people really interested in old cookers. The Incredible Hulk is gay, which is it's a new take on the old Marvel classic. It's about a mild-mannered interior designer who, whenever he sees people carelessly using postmodernism, he gets very big and pink. And Kindergarten Whore.
Yes. I've actually seen that.
It's good, isn't it?
It was straight to video, but it was worth it, wasn't it?
It's been done.
Yeah.
It was Teresa Russell.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
Ragtag gang of kids got together to save a brothel in the Bronx, which is four out of five stars.
There's, of course, La Femme qui une baguette, which was Imogen somebody who marries Gerard Depardieu and then hilarious kooky scientist Jeff Goldblum turns him into a large French stick.
Jeff
Goldblum. Have you ever noticed that Jeff Goldblum sounds exactly like Adam West, the rather porky Batman? Because literally, it's the same sort of thing. It's let's go to the best cave. Robin. And it's like Jeff Goldblum. There are dinosaurs coming.
That sounds like Zina Badawi.
Really? Well, the mutant child of Adam West and Zina Badawi.
I've got one that quite links with that one, which is Carry On Jurassic Park, which is also featuring Jeff Goldblum as a kooky scientist, in which they bring back the Carry On team genetically and have them in big enclosures, and a massive Sid James escapes and chases the hapless visitors going, And at the end, they're terrorised by a gang of rogue Charles Hawtreys.
Can I just chuck in 101 Hannibal Lecter? In which... there's just 101 Hannibal Lecters running around killing lots of people. But they have got black and white spots on their faces as well. Buddy of the Apes, Buddy Holly, right, has survived a plane crash that he died in. And is raised by apes. Presumably, I mean, he's learned to speak already. But
they don't understand this special Buddy Holly language that goes,
that's Independence Day of the Jackal, when somebody hires an assassin to kill Jeff Goldblum.
Does he play a kooky scientist?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah? Who'd have guessed it?
That's enough films for now, I think. Sue, I'm going to give you 2 points. Dave, I'll give you 3 points. Pete, you get 2 points. And Simon, you get 4 points. And for a bonus point, who can do an impression of Chewbacca from Star Wars? Dave. Sue, you buzzed as well.
That was Chewbacca, am I right, when he's a bit cold? A bit miserable.
He's in pain, he's in a sort of trash compactor.
See, I've got one who's a little bit more excited.
Okay.
Okay, here it says. Oh, no!
I've got one as well.
Simon has buzzed, indeed, yeah.
This is Chewbacca just sort of chatting, and when he's talking to Han Solo, he sort of goes, isn't it, Han?
bonus points all round. Pot and Pete,
Pot and Pete.
I can't be bothered to do a Chewbacca impersonation.
I can do Darth Vader buying a Balti.
All right.
Okay, bonus points for everybody.
Can I have a garlic naan as well?
Okay. Pete, stop.
Yeah. Should we just do lots of impressions?
Sure. You're a TIE fighter.
That's excellent. I can do a bad Alec Guinness, okay.
The seven people are easily frightened. But they'll be back again and in greater numbers, too.
Lightsaber.
Yeah. But then when it crashes, it goes...
How about this one? That was Mark Hamill's career.
Can I just do Darth Spencer, which is,
Betty.
I hate to cut into what's become the history of Star Wars, obviously. That can be continued later on Radio 3, but we should probably move on. So bonus points all round, and Terry, well done. Before we go on, I'd just like to take a moment to say how pleased I am to have Sue on the show. Because a lot of panel games have a rather blokey sort of slant, and they tend to focus on subjects that are perhaps more of interest to men than to women. And that's not a trap that we intend to fall into. Okay? So, the next round is called Who Can Make the Best Machine Gun Noise? So, Sue, you first, come on. And that's your machine gun, is it?
Yeah.
But Dave, Peter, Simon, show the lady how it's done. Points for the fellas and some beer and football too. That is the part of the show where we play a musical game. I ask the panellists if they'll provide words to well-known instrumental records. And they reply, is that right? And I say, yes, it is. And they say, look over there, the red arrows. And I say, where? And they run for the door. And I say, call security into my wrist radio. And then the panellists are intercepted by dogs, and then they come back and play the game. Sue, will you please add lyrics to the theme from Ski Sunday?
I hope I don't crash, and 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 I hope I don't... I hope I don't hit a tree, 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 I hope I hit a man!
Simon, your instrumental is that wonderful 70s tune, Popcorn, by Hot Butter.
Come and have a go. Come and have a go. If you think you're hard enough, think you're hard enough. Come and have a go. Do you like hospital food? Do you like your hospital food? I will cut you up, you nonce. Cut you up, you nonce. Like hospital food. Are you looking at my butt? Are you looking at my butt? Don't you think she's pretty then? Think she's pretty then? Looking at my butt. Oh, you've got 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. Can I buy you a drink?
And Peter, add some words to Emerson, Lake and Palmer's Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland.
There's a place off the M4 about 40 miles from London. It's a bit dull. Just some shops. But at least... it's close to London. Reading. 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 You can buy bedding. Or have a wedding. In Reading. That is it.
That was either the worst thing that's ever been on radio, or one of the worst things that's ever been on radio.
That's the end of that round. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, said Shakespeare, who presumably had just been the victim of a vicious breast attack. Luckily, wild breasts are much less common these days, although I do hear they're being reintroduced into the New Forest. That's rather lovely. This round is to test our panellists' reaction.
Boo!
No, it's more than that. I'm going to ask Simon to overreact to the announcement that there is a set of stamps coming out to celebrate some famous British inventions.
Fantastic! Brilliant! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! yes.
Peter, I want you to react to the news that your flatmate has... failed to purchase milk.
What?
Oh,
Sue, can you overreact to the fact that your boiled egg is runnier than expected?
Why?!
And Dave, could you underreact to riding along the beach and discovering the Statue of Liberty, revealing that this is a post-nuclear future Earth now ruled as a planet of the apes?
Oh, God.
Can I try overreacting to the imminent destruction of the Earth?
We should that.
That was the last event, so with the points that I'll give you for that, your final scores are as follows. Dave Green, you have 7 points. Sue Perkins, you have 10 points. Simon Pegg, you have 12 points. And Peter, you've been disqualified for tampering with Simon's urine.
Not again!
It's all right, it was still in him.
I think that was the problem.
I'm afraid that means today's winner is Simon Pegg. Hey. Now, Peter, you've been disqualified and banned for 4 years. That means you get the chance to win the big prizes on the conveyor belt.
Yes.
Leslie Garrett was in the studio earlier, and she chose conveyor belt B, which was a bit of a problem because we've only got one conveyor belt. So we unscrewed the luggage carousel from Manchester Airport, and we'll take that back soon. So start it up, please. Okay, Peter, memorize everything you see going past. Everything you remember, you get to take home. All right, and close the curtains. Peter, what did you see?
Action man made from guts. small rubber student. A cheese Tottenham. You know those little cheese models of Tottenham.
Yeah.
That's going home with you tonight.
There was a marmoset from the future as well.
Yeah. Yeah, help him. Help him indeed.
As a piece of paper proving the existence of the Chinese.
Little bouncy hospice.
A gang of angry butlers.
Absolutely.
Versus sledge.
Good time running out.
An embarrassing climb down.
Marvellous, Peter. We're all so happy for you, we're going to jump in the air and stop in freeze frame. So, goodbye, everyone. 1, 2, 3, jump! King Stupid was presented by I, William Van Dyke, and featured they, Dave Green, Sue Perkins, Peter Bainham, and Simon Pegg. It was written by they, Kevin Cecil, and Andy Riley, and produced by he, David Tyler. The agricultural story editor was Alistair McCluskey, and the show was a positive production for the BBC.